So, some years ago now, when I was serving Faith Lutheran in Cockeysville, Maryland, we had a tragedy very close to the church, involving a family very near and dear to many of the congregants. I don't know if you remember the story of the Browning family. Nick Browning, the oldest boy of three, one night spent the night at a friend's house, yet sometime during the night snuck home, got his father's gun, killed both mom and dad and his two younger brothers. All of them, again, were known in the community, known in the Boy Scout troops and their church just down the street. So we, like many, circled the wagons and were intentional with one another. Remember, that's when I signed up for Facebook, because I knew the kids were going to be on it. And I wanted to be present in that way if I could. One afternoon, not soon after, I get a call from a reporter well-known in the area asking if he could have a few words and talk with me a bit. His question was basically along the lines of, as a pastor, what do you say to people at a time like this? And we talked about the promise of the resurrection. We talked about God being with us in the midst of tragedy. And then he asked, how is my faith? Was my faith shaken? And I said, well, no, I don't place my faith in people. I place my faith in God. So sometime later, I think the next week, the article comes out. And there on the headlines in big bold letters, pastor's faith shaken. If you took the time to read the article, my quote was actually in there, and it was pretty much word for word what I said, and I was thankful in the comment section, because I read it online, someone said, there he goes again, meaning the reporter. Sensationalist. That's not what he said. Go back and read your own words. I don't place my faith in people. We place our faith in God. There's one message we receive from experience over and over is that quite often people let us down. So we place our faith in God. In a few moments, I'll invite you to come forward and participate in the imposition of ashes. When they are marked on your forehead, you'll hear the words, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These are words from the book of Genesis. This is God's word, his parting word to Adam and Eve as they are invited to leave the garden. Their fall from paradise. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. I know for many the argument about Adam and Eve is, did it really happen? Were there really two first humans? Why did the snake do what the snake did? I think to dwell on that is to miss the point. I think the meaning behind the story of Adam and Eve and the garden and the fall was that if we were in their place, we would have done the exact same thing. Tempted with what they were tempted with, we too would have bitten the fruit. The Bible never calls it an apple, right? It's a fruit. Some think it was a fig. And in fact, we do it every day. There are the ways of the world, our ways, human ways, and there are the ways of God. God's ways. And we are told in no uncertain words, phrases, that to choose the human way, our way, leads to death. But to choose God's way leads to life and abundant life. We'll hear in our words a little bit later in the service the life that God intended for us. In a few minutes, we'll go through a rather lengthy confession. And in it, I made a list here. Forgive me, but it's part of our liturgy. We will admit to being sinful, unloving, unfaithful, proud, envious, hypocritical, apathetic, self-indulgent, exploitative, negligent, neglectful, indifferent, uncharitable, prejudiced, and the cherry on the top, contemptuous. How sincere are we? Will we be when we confess those things? So I don't know about you, but for me, the question comes up, why do we do this? Why is the message of the church in many ways a reflection of our sinfulness and our brokenness? I mean, as Lutherans, why do we have a confession every week? You know, I've heard that from people over the years. Why do we have to start with that downer? Why are we here this evening for Lent? I mean, it's a bummer of a time. Well, we come bringing with us the messages that the world would have us hear. That this long list of from sinful to contemptuous, that's what we are, that's who we are. We don't need the church really to tell us that. But we confess and we go through this season of Lent, and in many ways, Advent is the same kind of preparation season before Christmas. We do it because we take that message to heart, knowing that God in Jesus does something about it. God acted, is acting, and will act in the person of Jesus in response to our sinfulness and our brokenness. When we confess, when we observe Lent, we open ourselves up to forgiveness and healing. We open ourselves up to how God might work in our lives. We put faith in God and not in ourselves or the other broken humans around us. We do so remembering that with God, we never hear of judgment without forgiveness. We never hear of righteousness without mercy. We never hear of death without hearing about eternal life. We don't go through Lent pretending we don't know how the story ends. Easter awaits. We come, we're reminded of our brokenness, only to open us up to the good news and the love of God. Jesus in our text today suggests a few ways we might go about that very intentionally during the season of Lent. How we might open ourselves up and invite God into our lives in intentional ways. With prayer. With fasting. And with giving. That's the old joke, you know, what are you giving up for Lent? I can't tell you. The hypocrites. In a few moments, again, I invite you to come and to receive the ashes. You'll hear the words, remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. The ashes will be marked on your forehead in the shape of a cross. We remember that it is an ancient weapon of torture and death. But we also recall that ashes were once used primarily for soap and cleaning and cleansing. And while the cross is an instrument of death, God chose it to be the instrument to defeat death. And we remember that when we were brought to the baptismal font, there was a similar action done, perhaps with oil or water, a cross was drawn on our foreheads. We were told then and reminded now that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, because we are God's beloved children.